Nein, ich sag's dir nicht. Ich sag's dir nicht.
Ja.
الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وكان بالمؤمنين رحيما سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. The more you will know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we will fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a principle, that no one falls in love with a stranger. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these Asma'ul Husna. They teach us so much about Allah ta'ala. And today we want to do two more names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala put two names for His mercy, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. That means Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's Rahma is ghalib, it's dominant. That our Rabb is Ar-Rahman and our Rabb is Ar-Rahim. Now these two words normally we use interchangeably, but there's a difference in meaning. Both of them have the meaning of mercy. But Ar-Rahman means that being who possesses all the mercy. He's the epitome of mercy, mercy incarnate. And then maybe some people might say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not dispense mercy. So Allah ta'ala makes that very clear, that Allah ta'ala is not just Ar-Rahman. He's not just that being who's the possessor of infinite mercy. He's also Ar-Rahim. He's also all merciful. He's all mercy giving. And this cannot be captured when you translate this as compassion or benevolent or even all merciful, all mercy giving. This mercy is for us. This mercy is so that we can benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are here to make ourselves magnets for that mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single name of Allah, in fact, every single ayat of the Quran, every single hadith and sunnah, when we adorn our life with that, we become magnets for this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole Quran, you can read it in such a way that it's speaking about the tales of His mercy, the stories of Allah's mercy. So these two names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman means that being who's the possessor of all infinite mercy, and Ar-Rahim means that being who's the dispenser of that infinite mercy. They're two separate sifat. So, for example, there might be a person who is very wealthy, has a lot of wealth. That's one attribute. But if he is not generous, doesn't spend that wealth, then what's the point of that wealth? And on the other hand, you might have a person who has a very open heart, very generous in nature. He spends a lot, but he doesn't have any money to spend. So that's also another defect. So the ideal would be that you have a wealthy person with a lot of wealth, and also that person has an open heart. So Allah Ta'ala is the possessor of infinite mercies and is also the giver, the dispenser of those infinite mercies. Allah becomes happy. That's why you have two names, Rahman and Rahim. Similarly, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayh, he has written several ways you can understand these two words. So he explains that Ar-Rahman refers to that being that when you ask from it, when you ask anything from him, he will give it to you. And Ar-Rahim means that being that if you don't ask him, he will become upset with you. Just like when you have a very compassionate teacher and or a compassionate parent, they want to fulfill the needs of their children. And if you don't ask them anything, you don't ask them a good question, they say that, why aren't you asking us? Why aren't you engaging with us? We want to help you. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also infinitely more compassionate than our mothers, than our parents, than our teachers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees us that we are running here and there trying to solve our issues and problems. We have to beg before other people. Allah becomes upset that, why aren't you asking me? There is a hadith where the Prophet says that when a person doesn't ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah becomes upset that I'm here to solve your problems. You should have asked me. So Ar-Rahim means that being who becomes upset if you don't ask him. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, look at Rahman and Rahim's. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you ask him, you become his beloved. And if you don't ask him, Allah says, why aren't you asking me? Ask from me so that I can help you. Then there is another meaning, another difference, that according to Arabic language, Ar-Rahman means that being whose rahmat, whose mercy is very extensive. Yani every person is able to benefit from that mercy. Whether they are believers, unbelievers, whoever they are, it's extensive mercy, all can benefit from him. And Ar-Rahim means that being whose rahmat is very intensive. Yani whose rahmat has a lot of intensity, is complete and perfect. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah is extensive for every person. Throughout the dunya, there is no farak, no difference between a believer and an unbeliever. Allah ta'ala gives them rizq, Allah ta'ala gives izzah, Allah ta'ala gives blessings and bounties to every person on this earth. Ha, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a very special mercy to the believers, and that will be the intensive mercy for the believers. That's why Allah says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, that Allah with the mu'mineen, with the believers, will be very intensive in his mercy. And because of that intense mercy of Allah, the believers will be able to enter into Jannah. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the Quran, the first introduction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us is that Allah ta'ala wants us to know about his rahmah. And both those words are made part of the Bismillah. Bismillah ir-Rahmanir-Rahim. That I begin with Allah who's Rahman and Rahim. And then in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an announcement. Then Nabbi Ibadi Anni Anal Ghafurur Rahim. Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anu, he used to say that this is one of the most mercy inspiring ayat of the Quran, most hope inspiring ayat of the Quran. That a person who reads this ayah and they feel the mercy of Allah, because Allah ta'ala is saying to his beloved Nabi alayhi salam, the Nabbi Ibadi, O my beloved messenger, tell my servants. It's a way of showing love. That tell my servants, Anni anal ghafurur rahim, that I am very quick to forgive. I'm very forgiving and I'm very rahim, very all merciful. And when does a person say this? When you want to give something, when there is an irada, a desire to give something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, that tell my servants that I am very forgiving and I am very merciful. Elsewhere Allah Ta'ala says, Inna Allah bin Nasi la Ra'ufur Rahim. That indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with all humanity, all people, not just believers, but every single human being. Allah is Ra'uf and Rahim. Allah is soft and compassionate and kind and generous. And Rahim, Allah Ta'ala is full of mercy, merciful. So this sifat, this attribute of Rahmah is very ajeeb. this rahmat of Allah is descending upon us all the time. And you read, begin to read Quran, after every few ayats, you will see this word Rahman and Rahim. In Quran, this word Rahman comes about 57 times. And Rahim is used 114 times in the Quran. You begin from Surah Baqarah. Allah says, Allah introduces Himself, wa ilahukum ilahum wahid, la ilaha illa huwa ar-rahmanur rahim. That there is no deity worthy of worship except Him, who is ar-rahman and who is ar-rahim. Then you move to the next surah, Surah Al-An'am. Allah says, kataba ala nafsihi ar-rahma. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made a rahma mandatory for Himself. I mean, nothing is mandatory. But it's going, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Allah has made mercy lazim for Himself. He has prescribed mercy upon Himself. This is so that me and you, we can get itminan. We can benefit from this mercy that our Rabb is so merciful. And this mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always attached to Allah ta'ala. Always remember this principle that these names of Allah ta'ala, these are the attributes of Allah ta'ala. And these attributes of Allah ta'ala are joined with the being of Allah, are joined with the Zat of Allah. They can never be separated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does that mean? That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may be upset with a person, is in halat-e jalal or angry, even at that time, this attribute of rahmah is attached with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is still all merciful at that time. For example, we see that sometimes a father, he's very compassionate, but when he is angry, so he places his compassion on one side. And now he shows his anger. The son, he says something, the father interrupts, he says that, don't come in front of me, leave me. Why? Because he's in a state of anger at that time. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mamula is completely different. Allah's sifat of rahma is never separated from Him. When Allah is happy with a person, Allah is also Rahim. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is upset with a person, He is still Rahim. Even when Allah ta'ala is in a state of jalal or angry, still that rahma, that sifat is present inside. And this was the ma'rifat, a point which shaitan also understood. And that's why when he refused to do sajda to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, that fakhruj minha fa innaka rajim, then exit this assembly, you are deprived, you are repudiated, denied. He knew that Allah ta'ala is in a state of jalal at this time, very angry. And what greater disobedience can a person do than what he did? That he refused to obey the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he had this marifa, and at that time in that situation, he turns to Allah and makes dua to Allah. Rabbi, he looks upon, calls Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this word, Rabb, you are my Rabb, you are my Lord, you are my cherisher, my nourisher, my sustainer. فَأَنْزِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Then, O my Rabb, grant me respite until Yawm al-Qiyamah, so that I can lead mankind astray. This was, he used that opportunity to make a very ajeeb dua, right? And that's why he was deprived then. Allah Ta'ala accepted that dua. What is fascinating about this story is that Shaitan also understood. He knew that at this time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sifat of rahmah is also present. And if I call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using this word Rabb, Allah will accept my dua. And Allah did accept that dua. Allah said, فَإِنَّكَ مِنَ الْمُنْزَرِينَ. That go, we have given you an excuse, a respite until Qiyamah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being who is so merciful in a situation when he is very angry. Ain halat jalal, he is rahim and kareem. Imagine when Allah becomes happy, how much rahmah will there be for a person? Subhanallah. So we are the servants of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. If we worship Allah Ta'ala, if we please Allah Ta'ala, then Allah's rahmah will descend upon us like rain. We will be drowning and drenching in the mercies of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And throughout our deen, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us certain actions through which we can become magnets of this mercy. For example, Quran is a magnet which attracts this mercy of Allah, pulls this mercy from Allah. Allah says in Quran, وَإِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنِ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That when Quran is recited, you should become silent and you should listen to it attentively so that you will get rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the month of Quran. This is the month of Rahman. We can become magnets and receive this rahmah in our life. There are many such actions that a person can do. For example, if a person does zikr of Allah, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are some people who gather together from different places and they sit with the intention of remembering Allah ta'ala. Then Allah ta'ala showers their entire gathering with the mercy, with his rahmah. This is a sahih sound hadith mentioned in Sahih Muslim, that Allah envelops them with sakina and rahmah. And this happens for those people who have gathered from different places in order to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes happy when a person remembers him, and Allah ta'ala showers that person with his rahmah. There is a hadith where Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Prophet said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created all the creation, all the makhlukat, and Allah ta'ala had decided the decree, the taqdeer of every person, and was written down in the kitab, which was on the arsh of Allah ta'ala, and there Allah ta'ala also wrote down one sentence, one statement, and this is a very important statement. Inna rahmati taghlibu ghazabi. That my mercy, it outstrips my anger. And subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is ghalib, it's dominant. That's why Allah uses two of his names at the beginning of the Quran. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Because his mercy, it outstrips his anger. Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that when we read the Torah, and it's written that when Allah ta'ala created the skies and heavens and the earth, and after creating all the makhlukat, the creation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had 100 portions of his mercy and distributed only one portion of that mercy among the creation, among the makhluk. And all the people, all the animals, all the birds, every and any type of makhluk, wherever you see any compassion within them, any mercy within them, any rahmat within them, it's because of the effect of that one portion of Allah's mercy. Yani a father and a mother, they love their children because of that one portion, a fraction of that mercy. So subhanallah, when a person, we live with other people and we have love for other people, we have compassion for other people. And in the Sharia, this is ibadah. So just for us to understand Allah's mercy, one love that is the most qawi out of all these loves is the love of a mother. And every makhluk has this ni'mah. The mother, they love their children, whether they're insan, animal, birds, any creation. You must have seen many times there's a chicken roaming around, a chick. with their children. And when she sees a cat from a distance, she takes out her wings in front of her chick to fight the cat. She knows she cannot win the fight, but she also knows that she cannot see the cat eat her chick. She knows that, but still she decides, I'm willing to die. Pehle mujhse mukabla karo, and then you can touch my children. Likewise, there is a bird, a sparrow, or a baby bird. There is a nest in a room. And if she goes out to get food for her child, and someone closes the door, or she keeps flying here and there, the water is in her beak, she's thirsty, but she doesn't drink it herself. She saves it for her child. This love for a mother is very ajeeb. Once, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, someone came to her to ask for something to eat. And she had two children. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she gave her three dates. So mother, she took one date and gave it to one of her child, second date, gave it to the second child, and she didn't eat her own date. She was waiting. And when the children ate theirs, she split the date into two halves and gave them each half. She didn't eat herself. And when the Prophet ﷺ came, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she told him. And the Prophet ﷺ explained that a mother has so much love for her child. So imagine how much Allah will have muhabbat for a child. Now every woman, they also want to become a mother. And sometimes you can have all the wealth, all the ni'mate, but when a woman, it's her deep desire that she wants to become a mother. And she prays namaz. In namaz, she makes dua. She prays tahajjud, Quran, does tawaf, umrah. Wherever she goes, she's asking Allah Ta'ala to bless her with aulad, with children. The mother, she knows it will be a lot of struggle. Still, she wants the baby. And then when she knows that when she will conceive, she'll be sick for nine months, and that she will have morning sickness, and she won't like the food, she won't like the smell of the meat, she keep throwing up. She knows all of that, that the birth is going to be very painful, a matter of life and death. But she is ready to bear this pain. Why? Because she wants children so badly. And she also knows that I'll have to become a 24-hour khadima, a servant after I become a mother. I'll have to stay up all night because of my child. She's willing to compromise all of this for the sake of her child. She sacrifices her physical needs as well. She is going to different people asking, requesting them to make du'as. And when initially she got married, she used to go out with her husband and she would shop for herself with her husband. Now, when she goes out with her husband, she's busy buying stuff for her child. She's getting the clothes, the feeder, the shoes. Now it's all about the child. She forgets her sleep. She forgets her own eating. If the child is sick and she has to stay up all night, she does it. When child sleeps all night and she's about to drop to sleep, and the child wakes up immediately and she again sacrifices her sleep. So the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has made her in such a way that it's a model of muhabba, a model of mercy and love for us. The child becomes the most important person in her life. Her relationships change. Before marriage, she loved her sister a lot. Now she's thinking about her child only. And she is cooking in the kitchen, on the watch, on the watch out for the lightest sound of her child. So this is what happens, right? The child gets sick. She is sicker. She has concern about her child. When the child pulls her hair, she thinks it is love. When the child slaps her face, she thinks it is love. So how much muhabba does the mother have for her child? If the same child, let's say he grows up and he comes, if he goes away, and after a long time he comes back, he knocks on the door of his mother. She doesn't hesitate in opening the door. She doesn't wait. She opens the door. And then let's say the child is still a bit strict, he's still a bit upset with his mother. He doesn't meet his mother properly, he goes back to his room. So the mother, she has muhabbah. She wakes up her daughter that please take out food for him. And I cannot stand his hunger. So the mother, she's still insisting. And if finally the son comes out and he apologizes, now what will she do? She was already waiting to forgive him. So if the mother, when the son comes to her, he holds her feet, he says, Mom, I'm sorry, please forgive me. So she immediately says that, Beta, I forgive you. So imagine if a mother, when she is so angry, when the son starts crying, she immediately melts. She forgives him. Now all of this is a preface to understand something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to give a namuna, a model of his love in this world. And that's why Allah ta'ala created the mother. That, oh my insan, look how a mother sacrifices, forgives her children, hides his fault. Oh my servants, if you want to gauge my rahmah and love, then know that I've distributed one part out of 100 parts in this world. And that mother who has so much muhabbah for her child, that's a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of that one part. And the 99 parts of the rahmat are with me, and I will deal with you with that 100, all those complete 100 parts. Subhanallah. The love that we see and experience and live by in this world, it's just a fraction of a fraction of Allah's rahmah. All of us, we partake, all the mothers, they partake from that one part. And just like a mother, she waits for a lost son. Allah says, I wait even more, much more, for my sinning servant to come back to my door, to repent and to return back to me. If you ask a mother, can you give taklif or any parishani, any pain to your child? She says, no, no way. She cannot stand anyone else giving any pain to her child. Why would she want to give the pain herself? Exactly in the same way, Allah is much more merciful than a mother. 70 times more, in fact, much more than 70 times. So Allah Ta'ala cannot stand his servant getting pain in this world. How can Allah Ta'ala with his 99 parts, you know, in the dunya, we can't even see our enemy burn in fire. And we are just partaking from that fraction of Allah's rahmah. And still we don't like to see an enemy of us burn in fire. How can Allah Ta'ala, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, with his 99 parts, would want to send someone to the fire? No. Allah Ta'ala has created excuses in our deen to forgive us. For example, number one, if a person only intends to do a good deed, then Allah Ta'ala orders the angels to write that good deed. He only has made an intention, no action at this point. But a good deed is written because of his intention. And on the other hand, if one intends to do a bad deed, Allah Ta'ala orders the angels to wait until the bad deed is actually done. And then even when the bad deed is done, Allah Ta'ala tells the angels to wait. Maybe this person might make tawbah or do a good deed. And if this person does a good deed, so one good deed is multiplied 10 times. So you do one good deed, you get 10 times the reward of that good deed. So what happens is, subhanallah, that you do a sin. Allah does not allow the angels to write it immediately in your book of deeds. But you, if you can follow it up with a good deed, now, your good deeds are multiplied 10 times. Subhanallah. Right? You can continue to do 5 bad deeds, and then after that, you do one good deed. And what's written in your Name Amal, in your book of deeds, is that this person has done 5 good deeds. Because 10, 5 will offset the 5 misdeeds, and what is remaining is 5 good deeds. Subhanallah. Right? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. Inna al-hasanat yuzhibna as-sayyi'at. Allah has made a golden principle that your good deeds will do away, will wipe away your misdeeds. It's as if that person never sinned. He did 5 sins. But after that did one good deed, and what's written in his name amal? It's written that he did five good deeds. Subhanallah. So that's why there is a hadith you could see. Allah says that وَإِن تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ, that when a servant comes towards me a hand span, I go to him an arm's length. And when he comes to me an arm's length, I go towards him walking. And when he comes to me walking, وَإِن أَتَانِي يَمْشِي أَتَيْتُهُ هَرْوَلًا, then I go towards him running, towards fleeing. So subhanallah, whatever we do, Allah Ta'ala's mercy will come to that person much more, in a more intense way. Now here a question comes up in our mind. If someone asks that why are there these worries in this world? If Allah is so merciful, He's Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. Actually, these worries also come because of Allah Ta'ala's merciful nature. This is a very important point for us to understand. Because Allah Ta'ala wishes to forgive our sins. For example, there is a husband, let's say, in one room, and the wife, she's in another room, and the child starts crying. So the father, he asks, is there someone with the child? And he's informed that, yes, the mother is with the child. So the father says, what kind of a mother? Why is the child crying in her presence? And then she says that, no, I'm the one making him cry because he is dirty. And I need to clean him, change his diaper. This crying of the child is not because of sternness or rigidness or hardness, but out of the love of the mother. She cannot stand that her child smells, that his clothes are dirty. She cleans him and then hugs him. Exactly in the same way, when a servant, they sin in this dunya, they make their heart a najis and impure in this dunya. Their hearts become black. A black spot comes on their heart. Now Allah Ta'ala is pure. Allah Ta'ala loves pure servants, loves purity. Allah wishes to clean His servant, purify His servant. And hence Allah Ta'ala sends some worry or difficulty His way so that this will purify him, clean him. And this will purify him so much, as much as when he was given birth by his mother. Subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ said that no fatigue, nor any disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress comes upon a Muslim, even if it were a prick he receives from a thorn, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes some of his sin for that. The sound of these, Bukhari Sharif. Why? Because إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah's rahmat is immense. Inna rahmat Allahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. Allah's mercy, Allah is there. It's always there. And it's qareeb min al-muhsinin. And especially for those who excel in doing good deeds, they can then enjoy and bask in this mercy. It's only that we have stopped being muhsinin. The mountain of Tur is there. There are no Musa. Right. We can also, if we can become amongst the muhsinin, then inna rahmatallahi qareebun min al-muhsinin. The rahmat of Allah is qareeb to the muhsinin. Allah Ta'ala even promises maghfirah for the kuffar, for the unbelievers. If they can turn back to Allah, Allah can wipe away all their sins. This would be maybe another. Now, if you look, there is a hadith where once the Prophet ﷺ, he was going on some safar journey, and he saw that there was a woman who was making some roti, and she had her young son with him, and the son would try to go near the fire and she would stop him. And the Prophet ﷺ, he turned towards the sahaba and asked that, would this mother, would she allow her son to go in near that fire? And they said that never, because the mother, she has so much love. And then the Prophet asked that, would this mother ever place her son inside that fire? And the Sahaba Ikram said that, Ya Rasulullah, she would never allow such a thing. She would never do such a thing. And then at that time, the Prophet said, very famous hadith, Allahu arhamu bi'ibadihi min hadhihi biwaladiha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has more muhabba, is more merciful. Arhamu is more merciful with his servants than this mother she is towards her child. So if a mother, she does not want this, then Allah ta'ala also does not want this. And we understand then that because of our own misdeeds, our own ghafla, our own sins, we earn this, we earn the consequence. Bahrhal, whenever a person turns to Allah and they seek Allah's mercy and they make tawbah, then this door of tawbah is always open. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His rahmah, then changes the bad deeds into good deeds. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتِ This is Quran, testifying that there are some servants who make such a true tawbah that they receive such an intense rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah does not simply forgive their sins, but rather Allah transforms, converts their misdeeds into good deeds. And on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise such people up. And other people will look at them and say, this is such a big wali and a friend of Allah, that he has never ever sinned. And halaki, he did a lot of sins in this dunya. But because of that true tawbah, Allah ta'ala changed all of his sins into good deeds. So in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes an announcement, wa rahmati wasiyat kulla shay, that my rahmah, it extends over every single thing. Now there is a hadith here that the Prophet ﷺ, he went on a journey and they set up a camp by the river. The Prophet was with the Sahaba Ikram. They prayed Asr. After Asr Salah, the Prophet he made dua for the maghfirah of his entire ummah, and they had set up a camp by the river. After he had made dua for the maghfirah of his entire ummah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a small bird, and that small bird took a few grains of sand in its beak, and then it went over to the water and it dropped those grains of sand inside the water. Then the bird went and again picked up a few sand, picked up a few grains, dropped it again in the water. And it did this a few times. And then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw that angel Jibreel alayhi salam, he also came down. So he asked him, Jibreel alayhi salam, that what was going on here? And the angel replied that, yeah, oh beloved messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this bird to show you what His mercy and His rahmat is like. That you just made dua for the forgiveness of your whole ummah, and Allah Ta'ala has sent this bird to show you that the sins of your ummah in the face of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are just like these small specks of sand in the face of His running, flowing, jari water, jari river. So just like when this bird drops that sand in the running, flowing river, the river takes it away. Just like that, the sins of your entire ummah, if they can present it to the mercy of Allah, Allah's mercy can wipe away, wash away all those sins. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sending Jibreel alayhi salam to tell Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who told us what the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. This is our Allah. This is introduction to Allah Ta'ala. This is our Deen 101. This is the beauty of our Deen. This is the beauty of the Deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. This is why people over the centuries would die for this Deen. This is why they would die for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why they would give their whole life for such an Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, lest a person thinks that maybe this rahma is only for those people who are very pious and very righteous. So there is one ayat in the Quran which, according to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, he felt a very deep hope and yearning for the mercy of Allah from this ayat of the Quran. He said this is one of the most hope-inspiring ayahs for him. It's a beautiful ayat. Qul, Surah Zumar, Qul ya ibadiyal ladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. It's beautiful because here Allah Ta'ala is addressing a particular group of people. And whenever you have this word ya in the Quran, it is khitab. Allah is addressing a group of people. Ya. And who are these people? Allazina asrafu ala anfusihim. Those who did wrong on their own selves. Those who oppressed their own selves. Literally, those who did israf on their own selves. Who did zulum on their own selves by committing sin. So this ayat is an address to the sinful believers. It is not ya ayyuhalladhina muttaqin or alladhina amanu. Or, this is asrafu ala anfusihim. And here, this is the first sign of Allah's mercy, is that how does He address them? Ya ibadi. That means, oh my ibad. Eh mere bando. Oh my servants. That means that those who oppress their own nafs, I still call them as my ibad. I still think of you as my people. You have not yet been taken out of my servanthood, of my bandagi. This is what it means in Quran. Ya ibadi, O my servants and slaves, who have wronged and oppressed and bruised yourself in sin, still you are mine. This is called Yai nisbat, ibadi. Allah is giving nisbat to Himself, that these are my ibad. And then what does Allah Ta'ala tell us? La taknatu mir rahmatillah. That do not ever despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite your level best sin after sin, you are still my ibad. Do not despair. Do not ever think that you are beyond the mercy of Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala continues, Inna Allah yaghfiru zunuba jamia. Allah will shower His mercy upon you by forgiving all your sins, jamia, completely all sins in entirety. Innahu huwal ghafurur rahim. Again, rahim comes here. And indeed, Allah Ta'ala, do you not know that He is al ghafur, He is al rahim, He is all forgiving and He is all merciful one. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala no, he used to recite and reflect upon this ayah and used to take hope from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this ayah. Hazrat Abu Amama radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates a hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed one angel for those people who use Arhamur Rahimeen as part of their du'as. Whenever a person calls upon Allah ta'ala using this Arhamur Rahimeen, Arhamur Rahimeen means that being who's the most merciful of all the merciful ones. This only befits the shan of Allah Ta'ala, the majesty of Allah. So there is one angel who has been appointed for those who say Arhamur Rahimeen. And then any person, when they say Arhamur Rahimeen three times, so that angel, he gives a khush khabri, a glad tidings to that person. And he says to that person that being who's Arhamur Rahimeen is now attentive towards you with his mercy. Ask whatever you want to ask. Allahu Akbar. Imagine when we turn to Allah Ta'ala and we make dua to Allah Ta'ala using Arhamur Rahimeen. We say this three times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed, has appointed sinless angels that that they will be appointed when we recite Arhamur Rahimeen in our du'as, and then they give tasalli and consolation to us that go, Allah Ta'ala is attentive towards you, Allah has become attentive towards you, ask whatever you want to ask, Allah will accept your du'a. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala also narrates a similar incident that Nabi Salatu Wasalam was passing by some person who was saying Arhamur Rahimeen as part of his du'a. And the Prophet then said to him, gave him hausla and said to him, give him yakin, that Sal, keep on asking. Faqad nazar Allahu ilayk. Indeed, Allah Ta'ala's nazar, his gaze is attentive towards you at this point. So you say Arhamur Rahimeen in your dua three times, you will get the attention of Allah. Allah's gaze of mercy and love will be attentive at that time. Ask whatever you want to ask. And this is precisely the reason why the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, in their du'as, they would use this phrase, Arhamur Rahimeen. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, in his du'a, Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, and Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salam, all of them, their du'as narrated in the Quran. And a very important part of their du'a is Arhamur Rahimeen. 1,000 years ago, these du'as were given to us, to the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? Because these are makbul du'as. These are du'as where Allah Ta'ala is teaching us in the Quran. Allah teaching us the way to make du'a. And the way to make du'a is to use Arhamur Rahimeen in our du'a. That du'as will be accepted. They will get the attention from Allah. So for example, Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wa sallam. Now, if any person is sick, there is some sickness or disease. So, Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam's dua is testifying that if you make this dua, you will get health. And what is that dua? Anni masani adhurru wa anta arhamur rahimin. That I have been touched with this difficulty, with this sickness, and Allah, you are Arhamur Rahimeen, you are the most merciful of all the merciful ones. So people who have health issues, they should take example, they should use this dua. And we have the example of Sayyidina Ayyub alayhi salatu wasalam. Then if someone wants protection from accidents, they want to preserve, protect their life, things happen in the world. So for that, we have a very special dua that was mentioned by Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam that he made to Allah Ta'ala. And this dua he made when he was sending his children. And he said that I give all of you in the hifazat of Allah Ta'ala. فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظَ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. Then Allah Ta'ala is the best of protectors. Huwa arhamur rahimin. The same phrase, that Allah is the most merciful of all the merciful ones. And whoever makes this dua, Allah Ta'ala will preserve, protect that person from accidents. Then a third dua is that sometimes it happens that you have a brother who is a bit distant from deen, who is a bit far away from deen. Maybe that person, your brother, he is ghafil or he is heedless, neglectful, forgetful. So now what should we do in such a state? So in Quran, through Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us another dua. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he made dua, Rabbi ghafilli wali akhi. Oh Allah, forgive me and my brother. Rabbi ghafilli wali akhi wa adkhilna fi rahmatik. And Allah, enable us to enter into your mercy. Wa anta arhamur rahimi. And you are the most merciful of all the merciful ones. So for those of us who have siblings who are distant from deen, we can use the dua of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, taught by Allah Ta'ala in the Quran. And then finally, we have a dua that Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam made. And when he became pleased with his family, with his family members, he wanted to give them a gift. In that gift, he made a dua for them. What was that dua? يغفر الله لكم. Then may Allah Ta'ala forgive all of you. وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And He is the most merciful of all the merciful ones. So we should also try to use these du'as and make أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ as a part of our du'a so that we can also receive this mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And now we'll just end with one of the things that we have heard from our own teachers, that person who spends their entire life asking Allah for His mercy, they spend their entire life yearning and wishing and striving to be the friend of Allah, to make themselves pleasing to Allah. They slip, they fall, but they pick themselves up again. They immediately make istighfar, tawbah, turn back to Allah. They turn back to Allah again, even if they sin again. Again, they pick themselves up and turn back to Him. Yani, never do they sin except that they follow it with tawbah. Never do they fall except that they raise themselves up again. Never are they disconnected other than they become reconnected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never do they lose themselves in the passion for this dunya, except that once again they try to ignite their hearts with the passion for Allah. In all of their lives, they're trying to become magnets of that mercy. They're trying, not necessarily achieving, maybe not necessarily succeeding, not necessarily attaining, but they spend their entire life wanting to please Allah, desiring to please Allah, irada to please Allah. Then it is beyond the mercy of Allah. It is beyond the mercy of Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. It is beyond the mercy of Arhamur Rahimeen that He will make such a person stand among His enemies on the Day of Judgment. No. Allah, He would view that person who always wanted to be His friend, who yearned to be His friend, and truly, sincerely was trying to be His friend, Allah, He will consider him to be His friend on the Day of Judgment. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah, he said, I love the people of righteousness. I love the people who have salah, who are true and pious. Even I'm not one of them, but I have hope that Allah Ta'ala, that simply my desire to be like them, my love for them, my wish to be amongst them, that because of this, Allah, because of this wish, Allah will also raise me on that Day of Judgment amongst the Salihin. So this month of Ramadan, this is the month to come back to Ar-Rahman. This is the month to come back to Ar-Rahim. This is the month that we have to win over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like a child comes to ask his mother for forgiveness for something, he bursts into tears. He kisses her hand, grabs her feet, and at last the mother, she relents. She wipes her son's tears with her own dupatta. Just like that, in this month, when a believing servant comes to his Rabb, the Ya Allah, it is the month of Ramadan. Allah, it is the month of Ar-Rahman. Allah, You are Ar-Rahman. You are Ar-Rahim. Allah, I have no amal. I have no taqwa. I have no ikhlas. I have no attributes. I'm the least of all the Muslims. But Ya Allah, You are Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. I am presenting myself before You. I also want to win You back. Oh Allah, Ya Allah, forgive me also. Make me Yours. Allah, I'm also a mu'min. I'm also from the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. I'm also one who believes in the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, I also am keeping my fasts. I'm also praying that Allah, Your rahmah, I ask from Your rahmah that Allah forgive my sins also. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala that may Allah Ta'ala forgive all our sins. We make dua that Ya Allah, shower, encompass us, all of us with Your mercy, with Your rahmah. Allah, include our names also in this month among the ibadu salihin, the muhibbin, the muqarribin, and the makbulin. May Allah Ta'ala accept our du'as. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to act on what was said. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We'll end with a short dua, inshallah. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا رب كريم يا الله يا رب كريم. We have gathered here tonight, Allah, we ask you to forgive us for all of our sins. Ya رب كريم يا الله, we make توبة for all of our sins. And ya رب كريم يا الله, we're seeking out your رحمة tonight. Allah, you are الرحمن and you are الرحيم, you are الكريم. Ya رب كريم يا الله, we ask you out of your رحمة. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for all the sins that we remember, for all the sins that we have forgotten. Ya Rabbi Kareem, include our names amongst the Ibadu Salihin, amongst the Muqarrabin, amongst the Muhibbin, amongst the Maqbulin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, it befits your shan to forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. We have read in the Hadith of Barakah that there was a person from Bani Israel who had committed 100 murders. And Allah, he left with the intention of making tawbah. Allah, he hadn't even entered the city. And Allah, he died on the journey. And Ya Rabbi Kareem, we also forgave him. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we have entered into this month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, to this barakah of this month. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to forgive all of us, Ya Allah. Allah, we have entered in the first 10 days of Ramadan. This is the Ashra of Rahmah. Allah, we ask you to shower us with your immense and incredible Rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, out of your Rahmah, to wipe away all the sins, to wipe away all the effects of sins, to Ya Allah, make us stay away from all the sins. Allah, grant us a repugnance of sins in our heart. Grant us a dislike and a distaste for sin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, adorn for us the good deeds, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us a love for good deeds. Grant us a love for the Quran, a love for the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salam, a love for Ibadah. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah, on this path of Ita'at and Ibadat. Enable us, Allah, to follow in the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us Kamil Iman in this month of Ramadan. Allah, make us people of Kamil Yaqeen. Make us people of who have Shara Sadr about the Deen. Allah, grant us conviction and certainty in our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you, in this month, Ya Allah, that you shower your special gaze of muhabbah upon our hearts, so that we can also feel your qurb and closeness. We can also feel your nearness and intimacy. We can also feel your proximity and qurb. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we also want to feel that closeness. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you out of your rahmah, in this month of rahmah, in this ashra of rahmah, that Ya Allah, include our names amongst the muqarrabin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enlist our names among those people who are true with you, Ya Allah, those people who are pleasing in your eyes, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you for your liqa in this month. We ask you for your rida in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you for your muhabba, your ma'rifah, your ta'alluq, your ta'aruf, for your mushahida. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask for ihsan in this month. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for a special mercy. Allah, we don't have any actions, amal that we can present to you. But Allah, Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min dhunubi wa rahmatuka arja indi min amali. Allah, your maghfira is more than all my sins. Allah, your oceans, Ya Allah. Allah, the ocean of your maghfira is much, much more than all of our sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, erase all of our sins, Ya Allah. And Allah, I have more hope, Ya Allah. We have more hope in your mercy than any of our actions. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you out of your rahmah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, to enlist our names amongst the muttaqeen. Grant and decree for us a life of taqwa, a life of according to the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. Ya Rabbi Kareem, decree us for us a life that is pleasing in your sight, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever pious intentions any one of us have in our hearts, Allah, we ask you to accept those intentions, those desires, those irada, those niyat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever du'as we should have asked you, but weren't able to ask you, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to grant us those du'as also according to your own shan, according to your own karam and generosity. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.